Are there lessons in the history of computers for reforming the FAA? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also Bob Miller Flight Training Online. And we're here to start the week off, as we often do, with a safety-related topic. And Bob, first of all, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
It's always my pleasure to share with you, Paul, and your listeners.
Let's start out with the very first topic in the April edition of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Most notably recently, in your banter with Doug Stewart of SAFE, you have been a staunch proponent of regulatory changes in order to raise the minimum requirements for pilots entering the system. And you kind of took a different tack on this one, your article entitled New Basic Operating System Needed. Tell us about this analogy and how it came to you.
Well, the regulatory changes, improvements, I should say, are definitely needed, but that's not the only solution. You know, operating a Part 141 flight school for the last several years, working with the FAA reminded me of the early days of working with IBM back when I was in college in the 60s. IBM ruled the world with large mainframe computers, and the thought of ever having a personal computer at our desk was not even envisioned by any of us back then. Lo and behold, we all know what we have right now, a personal computer system, social networking, and handheld devices that, left up to IBM, I don't think any of those things would have ever come about today, arguably. And then I drew a parallel in my own mind between IBM of the 60s and the FAA today. The FAA has become today, or aviation's modern equivalent to Big Blue. It's a large, cumbersome, bureaucratic organization that, in my opinion and from my work with them, has continued to operate out of the same mental model that they've had since their creation. And if we're to come up with any kind of new safety solutions for general aviation, just as if we were going to put handheld computing in the hands of the general population, we needed a new operating system. And the only way we got that in the computer world were because of very gifted individuals like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Mark Zuckerberg. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if somebody could come along in aviation and redefine the system that we're working in using the same concepts as Gates used when he envisioned the personal computer? Something simple, something straightforward that we could all understand, that does not require wholesale relearning, cultural change, and attitudinal adjustment by the general population. We didn't have to do this with personal computers. We should not have to do this in aviation change.
Well, first of all, you made me chuckle because I remember from my days living in your neck of the woods, one particular school called the Advanced Training Center at the corner of Sheridan and Millersport. They ran commercials on TV and they would train people to sit at terminals in this blossoming new career and create punch cards.
Well, that's it. I mean, we're working with the same mental model. Now, one of the things that I see as a glaring conflict is the FAA basically is working with the airline industry and at the same time working with general aviation, utilizing the same approaches, the same mindset, the same mental models. When we are worlds apart, none of us general aviation pilots have a legal department that we can lean upon to interpret the rules such that Delta Airlines has or American Airlines have. It takes a fair amount of study for the average beginning, even sport pilot, to go into the FARs and begin to decipher just what the rules are for qualifying even as a sport pilot. It's like those rules were written in the old Fortran and COBOL. We simply need to have a new look at an existing system with hopes of creating something entirely different. So much easier to deal with. Now, this may be thought of as pie in the sky, by and by thinking, but it certainly wasn't that in the days of computer technology and where we've seen that come in the last 20, 30, or 40 years. I think it's going to have to come Otherwise, general aviation is going to continue to be the, you know, the small stepchild of the FAA, even though we're flying many more airplanes, many more flight hours. It's just becoming such an onerous requirement to keep up with the rules and the regulations that the average pilot just gives up. Many average students certainly gives up in despair, and that's one of the reasons why I think we see the dropouts that we're having. Nobody wants to take the time to become a Harvard lawyer to go through these convoluted regulations.
I don't know. I find it great sport. Well, anyway, assuming that we can recreate the FAA and C++ and bring it into the modern age, you mentioned some technological issues, too, that things that are off the shelf these days, which could make a big difference if they were just available in more general aviation aircraft.
Yes. And, you know, Bruce Landsberg over at Air Safety Foundation at AOPA, give him credit. You know, I'm oftentimes a critic of AOPA and some of the things they come up with, but Bruce has been, I believe, a longtime advocate of some system enhancements in the cockpit that will help us to just remain attentive to what we're doing. Things like low fuel warning devices. Another device that I think that I have not seen in any aircraft would be an adjustable low airspeed warning device that we could adjust. Not a stall horn that goes off oftentimes after the horse is out of the barn, but something that we could set so that once we get down to, say, within 20 knots of stall speed and the landing configuration, we're alerted as to a slow airspeed condition. Other things that are out there already, if we could just get them into the system, FADEC systems for engine management, that would go a long way in simplifying the operation and giving us pilots more time to deal with the matter of flight. There's other things that we can put in there that would help us as well. You know, we've got ADS-B, which is a long time overdue, that would eliminate a lot of the convoluted land-based navigational routings that we have to go through. If we put multi-cylinder engine probes so that it wouldn't enunciate any time there's an abnormality in a cylinder or two, that would be a great enhancement. There's lots of things that we can be putting on the airplanes. You say cost, or critics say, well, the cost is prohibitive. Well, maybe it is on the short run, but over the long run, we have to analyze what are the costs of some 300 fatal accidents a year. That's a devastating cost. So there are things that we can do systemically to improve flight safety without having to change the culture of the general aviation pilot.
Well, and you say cost, that's somewhat tied up with regulation as well, because, for example, if you're in an experimental aircraft, you can buy technology from Dynon that at a cost that's like 1/5 or 1/8 of what it costs in a Part 23 airplane.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Now, I don't mean leaping to extremes where there's no regulatory oversight on the technology we have in the airplane. There must be some. But, you know, we all know the tremendous cost of an aircraft approach certified GPS versus what we can put in our automobiles from the same manufacturer, Garmin. Again, this all goes back to the regulatory environment that we're working within. And there's been lots of talk about, you know, change is necessary. And I've certainly been one of the advocates that change is necessary. But I'm beginning to think that we need an entire paradigm change. We need to rethink this whole system. And it did not become evident to the brain trust at IBM back in the 60s. You read the history of Bill Gates and Microsoft. I mean, they all but, you know, laughed them off, as they did many inventors of new systems. But it's time now. It's time to look at Big Blue, the FAA, and say, is there a different way, a better way of doing this? I think there is.
All right. Well, Bob, when we come back from the break, we mentioned Doug Stewart's name a few moments ago. You have accepted Doug's invitation to the symposium coming up in May and printed his rebuttal to your remarks about that symposium. Let's talk about that in a moment. My guest is Bob Miller, back with more. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through control. Cirrus has completely reinvented the personal aircraft and the entire experience of owning a personal aircraft. It's a bold new take on private aviation that we call Cirrus Flying 2.0. You set the schedule. You chart the course. You're in control.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. And Bob, before we talk about anything else, you have been very critical of the symposium being chaired by SAFE that's coming up in Atlanta early next month, saying that you thought it might result in nothing more than the usual round of white papers and backslapping and not really accomplish anything. Doug Stewart, who is the chairman of SAFE, kind of took umbrage because his feeling is that the regulatory change you've called for would take a decade to get done, and we don't necessarily have to do that in order to make a difference in the quality of flight instruction and the resulting improvement in the safety record. Tell us about that exchange and what you expect going to Atlanta.
Well, this turned into an interesting dialogue between Doug and myself. I've known Doug for a number of years, and we share about 90% of what needs to be done. I mean, we agree about 90% about what needs to be done in general aviation to make the system safer. The only part that I took issue with was when I looked at the agenda for the upcoming symposium in May in Atlanta, I saw lots of the Alphabet organization showing up. I saw, you know, breakout rooms and in the Crown Plaza Hotel, which, you know, I accused of being a highfalutin four-star hotel. Doug said, no, this is an airport hotel, and I went ahead and checked their rating, and it's a 3.5-star hotel. So, Doug, if you're listening, I wasn't too far off when I called it a 4-star. But, you know, it was more tongue-in-cheek, kidding with him a little bit. In fact, I offered him a wager. I said, Doug, if any regulatory change comes out of this planned meeting that would change Part 61, particularly as it applies to the qualification of pilots within the next 5 years, as a result of your meeting, I would make a donation of $500 to SAFE. And then his end of the bargain was, if, of course, nothing happened, he would contribute $500 to the Bob Miller Florida retirement account. And I thought he would take me up on this, thinking that, well, certainly within 5 years, if the conference is at all meaningful, we ought to be able to come up with some improvements in the you know, notoriously out of date and antiquated Part 61, elements of Part 61, particularly, again, as it applies to pilot qualification. I thought he would have said, well, sure, Bob, you know, we fully expect this to happen, and I'll take you on. Well, he didn't. He didn't take the bait. He didn't take the bet. And as of this writing right now, he has not yet taken the bait. But he did make a very compelling rebuttal to my article, and I, as promised, printed it in its entirety. And he sort of asked me, kind of baited me along here at the end and did it very effectively, which said, he said, I can't help but wonder, Bob, are you afraid that your opinions won't stand up to scrutiny from your peers? I challenge you to become a part of the process rather than just a critic. And I said, okay, you win, Doug, and I will be there. And I'll be there with bells on, very eager to see if this symposium, in fact, does produce any kind of a meaningful result. You know, these meetings have been held for decades. People get together, they have a good time, produce a white paper, conference reports. But, you know, the fatal accident rate has remained unchanged, flatlined for the past nearly 15 years now. And so I asked Doug, what's going to make this at all different? What's this conference going to do other than allow participant organizations to dig their heels in, defend their turf, and, you know, hand out, you know, just passing observations without, in fact, coming to the plate and saying, these are the changes that we need to make, particularly in new pilot qualifications, including flight instructor qualifications. This is where the problem originates. Let's see if we can do something about these antiquated rules and regulations. Thus far, they're of the opinion, he, Bob Wright, and some of the others over at SAFE are saying that, you know, Bob Wright said to me directly in an email, he spent some 15 years or so with the FAA right at AFS 600 where a lot of these rules and regulations are promulgated, and he said, can't be done. We cannot get a rule changed inside of a 10-year period, so why bother?
I have to say that when you made the wager in the terms you made it, it was kind of undoable from Doug's end, because their whole contention is that you can't get it done in 5 years. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes, and we will hopefully get a report directly from you, Bob, on how things are going at the convention, at the symposium. And also, I hope to get to talk to Doug there, and hopefully you guys will be in the same room and enjoying each other's company.
Well, I'm sure we will. In fact, we'll have a glass of wine together, perhaps provided by AOPA.
Now, they're discontinuing the wine club.
Oh, okay, I understand that. That was uncalled for on my part, but I do look forward to it. And Doug in company, their heads are in the right place. They do want to work hard. I think a lot of work has gone into the planning for this meeting. You know, we're all wanting to accomplish the same end, and that is a reduction in this fatal accident rate. We want to see more pilot starts, and we want to see more pilots continue through training. And if this symposium can do it, hey, my hat's off to them.
All right, Bob. Well, as always, we appreciate your thought starters, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
You can find more info on Bob Miller's free monthly e-newsletter and flight training programs at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.